The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please follow along in the bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son, when he came into this holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him in trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel today according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast of the Passover heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Christ.
Let us go forth in peace. Hosanna to the David. We process into the hymn, into the sanctuary, singing hymn 442.
Thank you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, on this day your Son entered the holy city, Jerusalem, to fulfill your will by his death on the cross. Help us to follow him through this week and all our days, that we may be drawn closer to you by a faith full of knowledge of the sacrifice and victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the Old Testament lesson is read.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 118, 19 through 29. We read it responsively. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
The epistle reading today comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn. In the place of a sermon this morning, we're going to read the Passion story from Matthew 26 and 27. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be sacrificed." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people.
While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went before the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were sad and began saying to him one after another, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus said, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. When he returned to the disciples, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all of the disciples deserted him. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under the oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said so. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "This man has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?"
Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway. There another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore at them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went out and wept. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans of how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver and the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used it to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus or Barabbas?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they all shouted louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." Then Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took a staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes, and then they led him away to crucify him.
As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
From noon until 3 that afternoon, darkness came over all of the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split, and tombs were broke open. The body of many of holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's sons.
As evening approached, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is now what it all comes down to Holy Week. Today we come to the end of the journey of Jesus' life and ministry. Over the last few months, we have heard about his incarnation, about his baptism, about his birth. We learned about his calling of the disciples. We heard him preach, and we heard him teach, and we saw him heal many people. Today, we come to the beginning of another journey, and that journey is through Holy Week. There is so much that happens during this week that it is really quite difficult to summarize because there is so much that goes on. Beginning on that Palm Sunday, the first day of the Jewish week, Jesus rides triumphantly on a donkey into Jerusalem. And then we read about him throwing the money changers out of the temple. And we read about him in the upper room. And we read about him washing feet. We hear about bread and wine coming to a new meaning. We learn of Jesus' prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. We stand in awe as he's tried before Herod and before Pilate. And we weep as Jesus is whipped and spat upon in the Praetorium. And we see Jesus on the cross, and we hear about the darkness for 3 hours. And we hear about earthquakes, and we hear about the splitting of rocks, and we hear about Jesus being placed in the tomb. And so this is what it all comes down to, what Jesus did for us, for you and for me. Jesus was incarnated for you. Jesus was born for you. He was baptized for you. He called his disciples for you. He preached and taught for you. He triumphantly entered Jerusalem for you. He established bread and wine as his body and blood that we should never forget him. He submitted to the whipping and the humiliation for you. He was nailed to the cross for you. He was buried in that tomb for you. But there's good news that's coming next Sunday, because we know that the end of that journey occurs then. And it is on that day that we will celebrate his resurrection, which is also for you. Amen. The offering is received.
Thank you.
Please stand for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness with which you bless your whole creation. Above all, we give you thanks that you sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to be our true King, your suffering servant whose death delivers us and all believers from sin, from death, and from hell. Grant us your grace that we may be faithful in our walk and in our hope, love, and worship. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we honor you as our King today and lay our praises before you. Help us to speak boldly about who you are and to joyously proclaim you as our Savior. Prepare our hearts to follow you into Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, and to Golgotha this week. Give us words to speak confidently about the message of forgiveness that flows from the cross and the message of life and hope that shines from your empty tomb. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, your light was placed in us at our baptism. May that light of your presence within us shine ever brighter as we go out into the world, living our daily lives following you. Keep us ever mindful of your great love for all those with whom we meet this week. Groan for each of us when we are troubled and don't know how to pray. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, we pray for peace in the world. So guide the leaders of the nations that they would see the futility of using force and seek ways to settle disagreements with brains rather than with bullets. Bring to nothing the efforts of those who would spread terror in the world, but rather lead them to seek peace and tranquility for all people in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we pray for the sick, the shut-ins, the sorrowing, and those undergoing hardship or challenges, and all who this day are in need of our prayers. We especially pray for Paula, Dan, Sue, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Jocelyn, Piper, and Norm. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Comfort each of these by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Use us to minister to them in their times of need. Lord, in your mercy. God who was, who is, and is to come, we pray for the members of the call committee as they consider our next steps in the call process, and we pray for Deacon Larry as he considers the possibility of ordination. Grant to each of these the comfort of your presence. Open their hearts to follow your will, and guide them to all your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, we pray for all these things, and whatsoever we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy, O Lord. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go now with the suffering servant who died to make us righteous and gives us the life to rise to him in eternal life. The blessings of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now you may be seated. Does anyone have announcements? No? Jim does.
I guess I could say brothers and sisters, since I'm your elder, brothers and sisters in Christ, I have requests for you and some ask for some cooperation on your part. Number one, we need to, as well as keeping each other in prayer each week, we need to make sure we're praying for our deacon and the decision that is to be made by the district, I guess, as far as the deaconship and how they're going to deal with it. and hopefully they'll find it some way that maybe he can become our pastor, but we'd have to work on that after they get things settled. My request for you is that we tend to like to stand in the back in the narthex and talk and carry on conversations after church starts. If you're not in your seat by the time the pastor gets up here, you're tardy. So we should be spending a few minutes in preparation for the service before each service. So if you could take your seats prior to pastor coming in at the back, and also when we're passing the piece, use him to key off of and find your seats after we're done passing the piece so that we're not disrupting the service. If you would do these things, we would appreciate it, and thank you.
Other announcements? I have a couple. There's no Wednesday service this week. There is a Good Friday service at 6 p.m. on Friday. There's not a soup supper beforehand. This being Holy Week, this next Sunday being Easter, is the time when most of the CEOs come to church. A CEO is someone who comes on Christmas and Easter only. But as Pastor really pointed out at the call committee meeting yesterday, that's a great opportunity for us to invite people, because they'll be more likely to come on Easter than they would on a typical Sunday. I was part of a class this week online, and someone asked the district president, how do we get people in the door? And his answer was very simple: one person at a time. So one person at a time is when you invite people. That's how they get here, one person at a time. When people come in, for those who are greeting, if you would encourage them to leave some sort of contact information, that would be greatly appreciated, because we would like to call them, or we'd like to send them a thank you note. And if we get that contact information, we can do that. So obviously when people come first time, we'd appreciate your greeting them. The more people that greet them, the more welcome they're going to feel. Are there other announcements? If not, we sing the closing hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.